On March 5th, the fight capital of the world hosts a bona fide super fight as the featherweight champion, Conor McGregor, looks to become the first fighter in UFC history to simultaneously hold titles in two different divisions when he moves up to lightweight to challenge for the belt against champion Rafael Dos Anjos, who has dominated the best in the division, including Benson Henderson, Anthony Pettis, and Donald Cerrone. Can Dos Anjos derail the McGregor freight train? Or will the notorious one cement his place in UFC history? Plus, fresh off her stunning knockout against the seemingly unstoppable Ronda Rousey, bantamweight champion Holly Holm defends her title against a challenger who hasn't lost in over 2 years, former Strikeforce title holder Miesha Tate. Two title fights, one epic night. UFC 197, Saturday, March 5th at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Tickets on sale Friday at Ticketmaster.com.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for waiting. Connor's not here yet. He'll be here in a minute. Obviously, UFC 197 takes place March 5th here at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. And is headlined by two world title fights, two fights, three belts. Champ Rafael Dos Anjos, 155-pound division, will take on Conor McGregor, moving up from the 145-pound division. Never been done. Nobody's ever held two belts at the same time here in the UFC. And coming off what I think is the biggest upset ever in UFC history, Holly Holm versus Miesha Tate. Holly Holm's upset was so big that, and this is unheard of, here in town, it was college football going on that week, people had bet parlays with Holly Holm and college football, and one of the major casinos here didn't have enough money to pay. People had to wait an hour and a half to get paid, which is unheard of here in town. That's what a huge upset that was. Who has the first question?
Question for Miesha. Miesha, do you finally feel, you know, vindicated after all that you've been through, not getting the fight, to be sitting up here and not having to wait till who knows when to be fighting for the championship?
I think it was meant to be. I mean, that's all I can really say. I feel like I've been ready for this opportunity for quite some time, and now that it's here, I think it was just meant to be.
Question, you know, Frankie Edgar, in talking about Conor, said, you know, I think I'm a stylistic nightmare for him. And some people have made that same thing with you compared to Holly, that your style matches up better with Holly than maybe Ronda's style did. I wonder if you can talk about the way you feel like you could attack Holly. And did you feel like in the fight with Ronda that Holly significantly raised her game, or was it just the way their styles played out?
I think Holly is the kind of competitor that will rise to any level of competition, and that's what makes her dangerous. And I think my style is very different than Ronda's, so it'll be a different puzzle for Holly, but Holly will be a different puzzle for me, and that's what makes this sport interesting.
Dana, obviously there's been a lot of talk coming into this that there were strained relations between you and Conor, or the UFC and Conor. I'm just curious. I mean, the guy's half hour late for a major press conference.
We were cool till this. Yeah, no, we're good. We're good.
So was there too much made of that, or do you feel like the guy's trying to send you a message right now, or
Do you think we're up? There he is. No, ask him. I don't know.
Well, Conor, obviously, welcome to the press conference. I just did want to ask you, I mean, certainly a major day here, a big press conference. You know, there's been a lot of talk that maybe there's tension between you and the UFC, or you see McGregor Sports and Entertainment as a brand that can be on par with the UFC or beyond that. Is your tardiness here today any type of a message, any type of leverage, negotiation, anything like that?
No, wow. New microphones and everything. 2015 was a damn good year of business. We've got the good microphones and all this year. No, business is phenomenal. I mean, all you got to do is look back at last year for myself and the company. There was nothing about tardiness. I apologize for my timekeeping. I do not wear watches to tell the time, so I operate on my own time. But I am here now, and I apologize, and here we go.
Fantastic. Well, now that you are here, why was this the right fight? You certainly had a lot of options on the table. You know, defend the belt at 145. Nate's calling you out. I mean, everybody wanted to fight you. Why was this the right fight to make?
You know, I chose this one because I came into this promotion as a two-weight world champion. I had always wanted to replicate that. That was the goal, create history, continue to create history. And this man across from me has a title. He has nothing else but that. He is a free TV fighter. He has nothing else to offer me except that gold belt. So that was the simple decision. There were many other options, you know. Frankie has a little bit of desperation about him or something. I don't know. He went 0-2 in lightweight, got the chance to fight for the featherweight title and got the head slapped off him, and then now is running around begging. And it has a stink of desperation off of it. So I'm just going to leave him sit for a while. Nate, you know, I like the way Nate came in his last fight. The previous fight before that, he came in sloppy, really badly out of shape, whining and complaining about everything, and then came in and put on a performance like that. He went back to the bottom of the pile, but he came in this last fight in shape. He played the game a little bit more, so, you know, I can give respect to that, and we'll see where it goes. But I will go through every single one of them, make no mistake about it. Rafael is next, and that is it. More gold belts.
And can I just quickly ask you how you're going to approach your weight for this? Because people are seeing pictures of you, say you look bigger, maybe a little more muscular. How are you going to approach this, and are you thinking about a return to 145? Are you making sure that your body stays in a position that you can defend both belts, or is there a possibility that if you get this belt, 155 is your new home?
I'm an active champion. I will fight in many weight divisions. You know, as it grows and all of this forms now, I like the sound of that 170-pound title as well. I've got to be honest with myself. I feel I can take down them three gold belts, so, and I feel I can do it by the year's end.
That's awesome. Just quickly for Rafael, when this fight came together, I mean, you guys obviously had an exchange at a press conference last summer. Was this a fight you were thinking about? Was this a fight you really wanted and hoped would happen, or is it just kind of what was presented to you?
Yeah, actually, I'm 155.
I made this fight. And I made everything that to do with this. I put him in that seat.
I just think about, you know, people in my division, this guy, he won 45-pound champion, and whatever try to step on my division to try to take my belt away, I will make sure I will keep my belt. But, man, I'm here, you know. He's a challenge. I'm the champion.
Because we put you there.
And he's a smart guy.
Here because I put you there.
He doesn't want to fight for his 45, for his featherweight. He don't want to put his featherweight belt in the line.
I see a gazelle up here.
If he lose, he don't have anything.
I see a gazelle,
you know,
up here, limping.
Yeah, so smart. He's trying to go up.
Old gazelle.
I'm going to beat him. I'm going to send him back to 45, and he's still champion.
And last question, Rafael. You know, you're not a guy that's talked a lot throughout your career. How difficult is it right now? I mean, you see, you know, Conor's been a master of mental warfare throughout his career. He's going at you right now. How difficult is it to keep your focus, and do you feel like that's going to be a big key in the lead-up for this fight is maintaining focus and not getting into a war of words?
I'm not a trash talker, you know. I respect my opponents, and I'm just I talk the truth, you know. I don't trash talk. I just talk the truth. And March 5th, and I will send this guy back home sad, and I'm gonna keep my belt, you know.
I'll send him back home to California. He's home. You know, I swear to God, UFC 189, I fought Jose Aldo. I KO'd the country of Brazil's true champion. And seeing how he handles himself, how his team handles himself, they never learned the language of the oppressor. He never came to America. He trusted in his people, unlike this guy standing across from me. And that's why the people of Brazil love Jose Aldo. That's why when Jose Aldo steps off a plane, the country of Brazil greets him regardless of result. We're sending Rafael on a four-day media run throughout Brazil in a couple of weeks, and we've got to book him a hotel. I've got to book him a hotel in his own home country. So that should tell you all you need to know. He will never step off a plane and receive a hero's welcome in the country of Brazil because he ran from the country of Brazil. He didn't trust his own. And that's why Jose is the true champion in his country. And this guy in Brazilian lingo is a gringo. And that is the truth.
Okay, Dana, question for you and for Conor both on the timing here with him holding If he wins this fight and holds two belts, when are you going to expect him to fight at 145 again? You going to put a time frame on him on when he needs to defend that belt as well?
Yeah, well, obviously this fight has to happen. We'll see what happens. Listen, when everybody asks me why I would let Conor hold two belts when we've never done it before, because Conor has kept his word on everything he said he would do, you know? He was a little late to the press conference today, but other than that, he's kept his word and done everything that he said he would do since the day he set foot in here. He said he will fight four times a year. He really likes money, and I believe he will do it. So,
but no time frame on he's going to have 6 months to have to.
Yeah, listen, cut out all this other stuff, and I'd go through the whole roster in 4 months. And I tell you that right now, I'll whoop every single one of them inside 4 months if you cut out all this other shit. Bring me in, weigh me in, and I'll fight the next night and wipe out the entire game inside 4 months.
And finally, real quick for Holly Holm, question. Why right off the bat you're taking on somebody as talented as Miesha Tate? Why not take an interim fight beforehand, but taking on her seems to be a big challenge for you, certainly.
It's absolutely a challenge, but the way that I've kind of mentally taken my whole career is to make sure and take the challenges that are ahead of me. And the reason why I'm sitting here right now with the belt is because I took the challenge ahead of me when they said Ronda's next. A lot of people didn't think I was ready, and I thought, you know what? This is the opportunity that's next, and I don't want to run from it. So this is the opportunity that's next for me. It's Miesha Tate, and she's a totally different fighter. She's very good in the scrambles, and she's technically had more ring experience than Ronda. So there's just different things that she brings to the table, and it is a huge challenge for me. But that's the way I like to go. I want to feel like I'm up against the best because that's what brings out the best in me.
Question for Conor McGregor. Conor, UFC 200 is coming up in July. We're talking a lot about your long-range plans. You never shy away from planning for the future. If there's no, injury or anything like that holds you up after UFC 197, fight at 200?
I'll be fresh after 197. I believe I will dust Rafael inside 1 minute. He is a slower, sloppier version of Aldo. He's like a bum version of Aldo. So I believe in absolutely everything. I believe inside 1 minute I will dust him. I will exit the contest fresh. I will cash the check. I will sign the next contract for UFC 200, the brand new MGM. And we'll go again. 2015 was my year. 2016 is also my year. Every year is my fucking year.
Question for Rafael Dos Anjos. Your path to the title was through wrestling. Obviously, that was a big key to your victory over Anthony Pettis. Do you anticipate that that's going to be a key component to defeating Conor McGregor?
I'm a complete fighter, man. I fight standing, I fight on the ground. I think my history talk by itself. I beat Ben Henderson, Nate Diaz, Anthony Pettis, Donald Cerrone twice. And I fought
Donald's
better guys. I Donald's fought was, taller guys, stronger
Donald's
guys.
Donald don't want to fight. Donald, that wasn't a TKO. That wasn't a finish. Donald quit in there. Looking at that, it was an early finish for Dos Anjos against Cerrone. But looking at that finish, my God, as far as finishes go, it was one of the worst finishes I've ever seen. He was swinging wild. He hit nothing but shoulder. He almost lost balance. He was swinging that wild in there. He was hitting glove and then looking at the ref saying, "Ref, please stop this fight. Please get me out of here." And then the ref obliged and stopped the fight for him. So it was a very weak finish against Cerrone. So you can talk about your wins and losses, but at the end of the day, you've tasted that darkness of being KO'd stiff, and you will taste it again on March 5th.
My next question you guys can make for him, because he's answer for me, so next question you guys can make.
Yeah, I set it all up and I knock it all out of the park. That's what I do. That's why you're sitting there. That's why you're flying to Brazil and to do that media run. I want to send you back to our Brazilian TV partners, Globo and Combate Sport, and have you answer to the Brazilian people why we have to book you a hotel in your own home country. Why your kids' names are Bob and Donald. Why are you raising American children? Why don't you trust in your own people? So you're going back to Brazil to answer that question. while you stay in a hotel that we have to pay for you because you don't have a home over there.
Question for Misha Tate. Presumably every time you've thought about getting a title shot over the last couple of years, it's been associated with Ronda Rousey, who you had a lot of personal animosity for. When you think about this title shot now, that it does have a fresh face attached to it, do you think about it any differently in that sense? Is it any type of a relief to have no personal animosity or emotions attached to it?
I suppose it is. It's just a different kind of feeling leading into this fight. I'm a fan of respectfulness, and I think that Holly is a true sportsman, and I like this fight. I like the matchup, and it's a little refreshing to not have it have to be against Ron and have to go through all the drama of seeing each other all the time. You know, Holly and I are very friendly, so it's just different. It's nice.
And lastly, for the champion, Holly, I know you would have taken the rematch against Ronda Rousey if that had been presented to you first, but do you like this idea of being able to have a fight that's your night, it's writing a new chapter in your brand, and it's not necessarily going straight to revisiting something that you've already done?
You know, I was open to a rematch with Ronda. I just wanted whatever opportunity was going to come. I think that this is definitely even more of a challenging way to go. There's a lot of pressure behind it. I think there's a lot of anticipation, what I'm going to do after the last fight. You know, there's a lot of high expectations, and, you know, who wants to be a one-hit wonder, right? So I want to be able to still perform and do well. A lot of people are, oh, are you so excited? You made it to the top, and that's one fight. But every fight still is something to want to get better and do well at. I still feel like I'm climbing. I don't ever want to feel like I'm at the top. If the rematch would have come with Ronda, that's what I would have focused on. And I think another thing that's just worked for me, one fight at a time, I'm going to focus on it. When the fight was with Ronda, that's what I focused on. Now it's Misha, that's what I'm going to focus on. If the rematch would have been like a for sure thing that it was going to come sooner than later, that would have been what was going to happen. But the fight with Misha is here, so honestly, the whole thought of the rematch with Ronda isn't even on my mind anymore, because that's not where my focus should be anyway.
Thanks.
Question for Connor. Is this on?
Mm-hmm, I can hear you.
Okay. How big of a relief is it for you to not have to make that weight cut, and how do you anticipate it'll affect your performance?
Yeah, it's a pretty nice feeling. It's a nice experience. It's steaks every day for me. Steaks for breakfast, steaks for lunch, steaks for brunch, grass-fed, massaged, beef, all day long. So it's a pretty nice feeling, and my body is reaping the rewards. You know, I can only imagine the state Rafael is in, coming back-to-back cuts, especially he blew up before the Cerrone fight. He was extremely overweight, and he had to cut down to make that 155-pound limit. And then the King calls and says, you're up again, kid, and now he's got to do it all over again. So, I mean, just looking at him, he's aged 25 years in the last 2 weeks. So I can only imagine how he's feeling, but I'm feeling damn good.
And how do you anticipate it'll affect your performance, your power?
I feel everything will be the same. I mean, my performance has been flawless in the featherweight division, you know. The final week or two is intense. The final week is the intense part. But I get in there, and by the time fight time comes around, I'm fresh, and I'm KO'ing everybody. This will be my fifth world title inside 10 in 10 fights, all won by stoppage. So my performance has been good. I feel going up to 155, I'll be the same animal. I'll be even more of an animal. You know, like my coach said, you've seen him on the salads, now see him on the steaks.
And Rafael, why do you think it's a bad idea for him to move up in weight?
It's a different story. Lightweight's a different story. We are bigger and lightweight.
He's 5'8" with a 70-inch reach.
It's not a,
I'm
it's
5'9" with a 74-inch.
It's not a show
reach.
In Ireland.
I'm the bigger man
here. Two belts.
I'm the bigger man. You know? I'm gonna bully this man in his own division.
You dumb man.
I'm gonna. No, I'm not.
You dumb.
No, you. Okay. Fight him while I speak. I'm the king.
Yeah, you're go
the
speak.
You're a bum.
You're nothing.
Question.
So I think it's a bad idea. You know, and he's gonna
5'8".
He's gonna have nightmares with lightweight division for the
I'm
rest of his
life. I'm 5'9" with a 74-inch reach. I am the bigger man here. This is a non-argument. I'm gonna go in and bully him in his own division. Toy with him in there.
Misha, you talked about this was meant to be, that you got this fight at a different time than what you initially wanted. Can you elaborate on that? What are the positives that you've drawn out of this?
Well, the positive is that I've been ready to fight for a title for a long time, and it just made me that much more hungry having to wait for it and appreciate the opportunity that much more. So this is an entirely new puzzle, an entirely new fight, but the mental preparation that I've been preparing for this opportunity has been going on for a long time. So I feel like I'm more than ready, and I'm so excited to throw down UFC 197.
And finally, for the champ, Holly, you beat Ronda. Ronda beat Misha, so odds look like they're in your favor, but styles make fights. And what do you think about Misha's style that could give you problems and vice versa?
That's absolutely right. Styles make fights. Every fight is different. And, you know, I think that it's just, it's a different game plan. And we're just going to really zero in on this game plan. She's, you know, she reaches for a lot of things in scrambles and in different scenarios. She's headstrong throughout an entire fight. She's been through more battles, so she's got, you know, a lot of that kind of, she's got that experience in there, in fights where she's been, you know, even, you know, digging deep and coming out on top. And I think that's more of a threat in a fighter when you know they've been through a battle.
And then as far as you, what problems might you pose for her?
I think that one thing that our camp is so good about is putting together a right game plan for every fighter. And this is going to be a whole different fight than the one with Ronda. We're going to train completely different because this is a completely different fighter.
Hello. Rafael. A few weeks ago, Conor said something about Jesus, that he would be able to defeat Jesus inside the octagon. And in Brazil, everybody knows that you are a really religious guy. How was that for you?
Yeah, I think when a guy does say something like that, he has no respect for anybody. And I'm just a single tool in Jesus' hand. And on March 5th, he will feel what a single tool in Jesus' hand can do with him.
Me and Jesus are cool. I'm cool with all the gods. Gods recognize gods.
And Conor, Fabrício Werdum, he told us in Brazil that you tried to train at King's MMA for the fight against Jose Aldo. Is that true?
Why would I want to train in that bum gym? I train with my own people. I have since day one. That man needs to get his facts straight before I roll in there and buy that gym and turn it into a fucking dump. You know what I mean? I train with my people from day one, straight last year. My teammates, the same teammates that I came up with. I'm not about that running like a lot of people in this game are. They run to different camps or that's a sign of weakness for me, or they leave their country. I've stayed since day one. I am loyal to my team and that's it. So that is incorrect.
For Conor, welcome back to Las Vegas. You'll be fighting in Las Vegas again. Question for you is, you could be fighting in Las Vegas at UFC 200 as well. Will you get a chance to fight in Dublin? Do you think that there's an opportunity for you in 2016 to fight in your home country?
I mean, I don't know. I do crave my stadium fight in Dublin. Well, I just have to roll with the punches here. You know what I mean? I just have to. It's an operation to set up a stadium show like that. There are restrictions. There are limitations. They've pulled concerts from the venue previous. So it's a risk to go in and do something like that. When I'm just knocking them out so easily and so smoothly, just keep rolling back to back to back. I will get back to Dublin. We will do the show. But it takes time. This is a marathon, not a sprint. So. I look forward to one day having my home country lit up with a stadium show, but it is a work in process.
Another one for you. Up until this point, you've sort of put Hollywood away. You said that you're not interested in that your focus is on fighting. Prior to your last fight, your manager kind of said that might change this year. You put up something on Instagram of you in maybe your driveway or something saying you were maybe trying some stuff out for a Hollywood film. Is this the year that we see you kind of break over into that side of things?
You know, acting, I'm not crazy about acting, but I sure am crazy about collecting. So, you know, when they come at me with these offers and these opportunities to get in, say hello, cash a check and bounce, and then also on the backdrop use it as a negotiation tool that, look, Hollywood's there screaming for me. You know, I'll use every angle of it. So we'll see where it goes. But I have offers on the table. I am deciding. But like I've said before, I truly enjoy the fight business. The fight business is my passion, not show business. I understand that you've kind of got to juggle both in certain aspects of this game. But I am involved in the fight business, and I am running the fight business.
Question for the other champion, Dos Anjos. What did you think of Conor's fight with Aldo? Did you think that all of the talk that Conor had done had a negative effect on Jose? Is that just the fight game that, you know, you guys are throwing punches? Someone can go down at any moment. What did you make of that fight? Did you learn anything from it? What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, that was really quick. And I think Aldo rushed out a little bit, you know, and he got caught. This is a fight game. This happened in MMA. And I think that's it. He rushed out.
Do you think he was affected by everything that Conor says? Conor likes to say that everybody reacts different once they're inside the McGregor bubble. Did you feel like that had an impact on the way Aldo fought that night?
Yeah, I think because of that, I think Aldo has a lot of experience, but I think he kind of rushed out a little bit on the beginning of the fight. Maybe he let the emotions come, you know, the emotions come. But, yeah, I think it was just that. I think if they fight 10 times, Aldo beat him 9. And so that's what I think.
Conor, where is your belt?
That's what I just noticed. Where is my damn belt? You know, this is a super fight. I look up on that poster. I see myself tucked in the back there. I see a guy who has, his last gate was $1.7 million. He fought on free TV. He's never brought a dime to the company. He's never made a dime yet. He is sitting there on the front of my poster. I think that's a department that needs to be looked at. Somebody's sleeping on the job. This is a super fight. Where are all these historic images? These are posters that will be looked back on long after it's all said and done, and then you've got to look back on that absolute garbage. So, you know, I think I might have to go into that department because they must be getting comfortable in that poster department. They want to get their act together and start doing their damn job, you know what I mean? The posters are a significant part of the sport's history. I mean, look through the years of all the great historic posters that the UFC has produced. But I feel someone's sleeping on the job in that department, and I will have to dip my nose and find out who and eliminate them.
Dana, do you have a response to that? Where is his belt right now?
He's challenging for the 155-pound belt. Everybody knows that. He's challenging for this belt. His belt isn't on the line. If he loses in this fight, he's still the 145-pound champion.
For Holly, please, you know, before the fight, Ronda famously said that you wouldn't enjoy the championship lifestyle. It wasn't for you. It's been a busy one for you. How has the championship lifestyle been so far?
It's been fine. Got to meet a lot of new people, and then I also got to go home and hang out with my friends who've been there from day one. That's my priority, is, you know, my family and my friends that have supported me the whole way. So, but I love to be able to meet new people, get to know them behind the screen or behind the sport. You know, got to meet some athletes, got to meet some, you know, actors, actresses. It was awesome to be able to meet them, and it was also good to go home and kind of have quiet time with my friends too. So. I think it's just a balance to keep.
No, you're focused on Misha at this point right now, but a lot of people are talking about the rematch. They want to see the rematch. Do you feel like the rematch is something that has to happen at some point in your career, or if, you know, she hangs it up or goes and does Hollywood, or, you know, things go different ways? Do you feel like you said what you need to say in that performance?
For me, I want to keep fighting, and if Ronda wants to come back and that's her passion, great. And if she wants to stay in movies, great. I mean, I think that I would rather meet someone in the cage when they're passionate about it. I don't want it to be because they feel like they have to, or because it's expected, or other people are curious about it. It's Ronda's life. I want her to do what she wants to do. There was in my whole boxing career, Layla Ali kind of ended short of what a lot of people thought. They used to always ask me, you know, what do you think about that? I think she should stick around and fight and prove this or prove that. And, well, if she doesn't want to fight, I don't want to watch her fight. I don't want to watch a fighter get in there that's not passionate about it. So if Ronda wants to fight, awesome. If she wants to go under different avenues of her life, great. Whatever.
Thanks, Holly. And if I could, for Misha, just talk about what the past year or so has been like for you. I mean, I think it's a tough path. You know, the title was kind of promised to you, then taken away. I think you thought briefly about maybe walking away. What's it been like? How close were you to really maybe saying, I'm done with this stuff?
I didn't know where I was at with everything, honestly. It was kind of a whirlwind of emotions. You know, I don't take a title opportunity lightly. You know, I put my whole life into this sport right here. I put everything that I have to give. And when I think I'm going to get a title shot, I'm like a hungry beast. And it's like you just took that steak away from me. I'm pretty pissed, you know. So, you know, it was a whirlwind of emotions, but now here we are, and everything worked out the way that it was meant to work out. So, fate does have a way of finding itself, and I think this is where I was supposed to be.
And as we said, I mean, styles do make fights, of course, but you know how tough Ronda is. You've been in there with her, and then you see Holly completely just handle her from start to finish. I mean, is that psychologically a little bit intimidating to you, overwhelming, knowing you've been in there with somebody tough, and she just absolutely destroyed her?
I think styles make fights, and I think that she does have an awesome camp that's going to put together an amazing, great game plan. I think I also have an amazing camp that's going to put together a game plan, and that's what I said. You know, if anything, I'm probably a little bit more anxious for this fight than I would be for another one with Ronda, because I feel like this is a whole new puzzle. You know, I feel like I was maybe just starting to kind of figure out that Ronda puzzle, but this is like an entirely new challenge with a great support system, and I think that Holly's coaches are far better than Ronda's, and I think that makes her a more dangerous opponent, and she will rise to any occasion, as we can see. You know, she surprised me. I think she surprised the world, and I wouldn't put it past her to try to do it again at UFC 197, and my job is to make sure that doesn't happen. So we have to put together a really solid game plan to beat someone like Holly.
My question is for Rafael. All this talk about Brazil and everything, we know that your walkout song says that you are a Brazilian citizen on it. And we saw this particular with Chael and Anderson, you know, like he was saying that Anderson wasn't a Brazilian because he lives in here. So how much this becomes to you like a nation proud for you to prove, you know, like in order to prove that you're really Brazilian and you're fighting for your country?
For me, this doesn't make any sense. I think we all, the whole world, they have American dreams. And this country, you know, we have like people for all different part of the world. We have Irish who live here, we have Brazilian. And I think these people doesn't deserve to be called traitors, you know. I just think about that. And this guy is calling me traitor just because I live here. I have my kids here, you know. I live with my family. And so we have people around the world who lives in the United States, and these people doesn't deserve to be called traitors.
Yeah, you know, it's all games, really, at the end of the day. Games are facts, depending who you ask. But I'm comparing you to a true Brazilian champion who I have already KO'd. And just seeing the way the Brazilians, the pride that the Brazilians carried for Jose, and the pride Jose carried for his Brazilian people, it touched my heart. So this is why, this was one of the main reasons I wanted to give back to the country of Brazil. And March 5th, I will behead Rafael dos Anjos. I will drag his head through the streets of Rio de Janeiro, through a parade of people, I'd imagine. It will become a national holiday also, I would imagine. But it's simply a sign of recognizing who's true and who's not. I see a true champion in Jose and his team and his beliefs. He carries the belief of the Brazilian people. And I see a man, although he is Brazilian, doesn't represent the Brazilian people like he should. He brings the name of Brazil down. So I will bring the name of Brazil back up once again. Viva la Brasilia!
So Conor is always doing predictions. I'm going to ask him about, Conor, your predictions for the fight. And Rafael, do you have any predictions for the fight?
First of all, this guy is speaking Spanish. In Brazil, we speak Portuguese.
Look at me.
It's not La Brasilia. It's O Brasil. So learn Portuguese first.
I'm dressed.
And man,
I'm up here like El Chapo.
I'm gonna have a chance to finish this fight in the first round, but I won't. I'm gonna punish him all the way to the third or the fourth. I'm gonna make him bleed. You know, he's gonna pay for everything he's talking about everybody for all the respect this guy have. I'm gonna punish him for long minutes.
I'm speaking Spanish. I'm dressed like El Chapo in his prime. I'm running this company. I'm running this company like half a wise guy. I'm up here verbally destroying this man. I am a multicultured individual. I am in here doing whatever I want.
Connor, so.
This one is for Brazil.
So Connor, can I have your prediction? As always, like you do your prediction, so. What's your prediction?
Yeah, I feel he is very, very sloppy. His shot selection is very, very poor. He has the tenseness in his body when he loads. We will enter and he will try and close into that distance and enter into the pocket, but he will taste some strikes in there really, really early. So he also dips in certain ways. It's honestly like a slower, sloppier, more stuffed version of Jose Aldo. I feel I will guide him onto some strikes, and as he has been KO'd before, I will KO him once again. So that's how I feel the fight will go, but it will be another KO. I'd love to beat the ugly out of him and drag him into the second and third rounds, and I would love to do that. But I feel like I'm going to dust him in under 1 minute.
And where are you going to do your camp, here or in Ireland?
I am here to collect a check. I fly back to Ireland tomorrow. I do my camp in beautiful Dublin, Ireland, surrounded by my people, hard work, dedication, sacrifice, a trust in my surroundings. And then I will fly back to the West Coast 2 weeks out and fight. That's my pattern. I am an Irish man. I know what you're trying to do over there. You're trying to say, well, you're over here, but I am not over here. I come in here, I cash checks, and I transfer them into euro and head back to my home country with all the money. So that's what I do here. So.
Take two more questions.
Dana, I just wanted to ask you, Holly was at the Cotto Canelo fight, and when they put her on the screen, she got, you remember, Holly, a bigger reaction than most of the boxers that were there that night. What do you think that says for her popularity and, you know, her drawing ability? Because generally you think, you know, when you beat the man, you don't become the man necessarily as in terms of the attraction, but that seemed to translate very well, where she became extremely popular just off that win over Ronda. You know, the place at the Thompson Mac that night, I think, was pretty loud when they showed her on the screen.
Well, I think there's been this battle between UFC and boxing for years. And, you know, James Toney came over and all the things that have happened. And when Holly beat Ronda, I think she was really embraced by the boxing community again as a boxer who had come over here and beat, you know, the best mixed martial artist, you know?
And so that leads to my second part of my question. I would think, you know, with Conor going for a second title, that would make this an historic fight no matter what. Just, you know, that the drama of him trying to get a second belt. Putting Holly and Misha on, which is going to be a big fight on its own, I mean, you could probably have set that aside given the reaction that Holly got. And
oh,
it
no
would
doubt.
Have been a pay-per-view headliner itself. So what was the thought process in putting this fight on with, you know, Conor and...
I wanted Holly on the fight. She has Irish blood. It was an honor to have Holly compete on
so
this
is that what it was?
In front of the Irish fans.
Well, I think, you know, obviously you want to stack the card and timing, too. Timing was right for both of these guys to be on this card.
And Conor, just to ask you, like, you looked last year in Ronda's two fights with Holly and with Beche, and then obviously your fight, you know, did really, really big numbers. Do you think this is the new normal for the UFC? It used to be that one time a year, maybe you would get a wrestling or a boxing or an MMA pay-per-view do that big number. Now it seems like, you know, there's been four or five, you know, times a year.
It's certainly the new normal for me, but I continue. I hold every record in the game. I am simply breaking my own records now at this stage. So, I am out on my own. I am in a league of my own. The game The game is on its knees. The game must hold seminars every weekend to pay for their training costs. And I'm out here rallying around California in a car that spits fire, dressed like El Chapo, with anacondas on my feet. So I am in a league of my own here, ahead of everyone in the game by a country mile. I am finding it hard to even engage with anyone in the game because they are not on my level. Not one single individual in this company is on my level.
Connor, question for you on Floyd Mayweather Jr.'s comments earlier this year that were racial in their tone, certainly. And this year, April 24th, is the 100th anniversary of Irish liberty, of the Republic of Ireland. Your thoughts on how that relates to your Irish background, what it means to you.
I think Floyd needs to learn before he opens his mouth. You don't put a man like me in a situation like that. You know, you put me in a name that's got to do with prejudice when you don't know nothing about me. You know, I am a multicultural individual. I take from all cultures. Look at me. You know what I mean? I am a product of many cultures as a young Irish man. So for someone to put me in that, I know he wasn't saying that I am that person, but it put me in that bracket, and I did not appreciate that one bit. So, you know, there's people buried in the desert for less than that. So Floyd needs to understand before he speaks who he is speaking about, and that is as simple as that.
I'm going to square these guys off. Thank you all for coming today. We appreciate it.
Good? Ready?
All right, ladies.